get a lot more when you put all of these clues together. It's a little like one of those shows on TV where they investigate a death. This is a stellar death, all right, and the corpse is still warm. So the big picture is we're part of the universe. The explosions that we see in other galaxies, the supernovae, are also happening in our own galaxy, and this is evidence of that. The 100-year-old explosion that Reynolds and Green see is probably very much like the ones that took place 5 billion years ago before the sun was formed. So our planet, ourselves, our pizzas, are made of the ashes of these vanished supernovae. We really are part of the universe.
Thanks, Bob.
Okay.
Yeah. So now we're at the point where we can take questions from reporters that are on the line. Again, you're all on mute until you press star one, and then our operator will join you in to be able to ask questions of any of the three speakers today. I ask if you have a directed question, please mention who you're directing your question to. Otherwise, Steve Reynolds will direct your question if it's not obvious. I just want to also mention at this point that this entire briefing will be replayed continuously for a week in an audio recording, and the toll-free number to access that, it's 866-501-2957, or if you're overseas, it would be 203-369-1825. So I think our first question will be from Rachel Cortland.
Sure. I was wondering if you could tell me what it is about, what you can find out from this supernova that you can't find out from looking at supernova that are, where you've actually been able to track the explosion from its inception?
Very few objects which have been able to, which have been tracked since the explosion for more than a year or two, because in distant galaxies they're invisible after that time. Even the radio and X-rays are just impossible to see. So it's a rare object that can be followed for more than just a couple. So supernova 1987A in the Large Magellanic Cloud is actually unique in that it was possible to observe it for as long as it had been seen. All the others are, we just see near their optical maximum, and then for a little while later as they fade and then are gone. And then there's this huge dark ages. Another interesting problem is we see the supernovae in the distant galaxies because we can see so many distant galaxies. The remnants are much fainter, and so we typically can only see the remnants in our galaxy or the very nearest ones. So we have the distant supernovae, which we see explode and vanish. Then in our galaxy, we pick up the story hundreds to tens of thousands of years later, where we see the fading aftermaths. So this object, G1.9, is right in the middle. It's doing things which we've never seen before. The radio remnants are almost all too old to be hardly for their change to be perceptible from one year to the next. The very youngest ones, like Cas-A, are observed to be fading slightly, so they must have been brighter at some time. This is G1.9 is the only object which is observed to be getting brighter right now. So that is got clues, and the radio waves are produced by energetic electrons in the process of acceleration of cosmic rays. So by studying its brightening, we get a view that we've never been able to have before in the process of how the shockwave turns some of its energy into these fantastically energetic electrons.
Thanks. And that was Steve Reynolds from North Carolina.
Quite
all right. Okay, we'll take the next question from Stephen Eckbarth.
Hello. How are you doing, sir?
Good.
Hello?
Yes, quite fine. Thank you.
Hi. I was wondering if this discovery paves the way to have all the moon crickets shipped off of Earth.
The what? Pop culture references are lost on me. Does anybody know what he's talking about?
I'm sorry, can you repeat the question?
Does this have the potential to have the moon crickets shipped off of Earth?
I don't think I follow that question, actually, either.
Shall we move on?
We can follow up. If you can send me an email, I'll follow up with these guys afterwards.
Does this event have anything to do with the Schwugi supernova of 2007?
Do you know anything about that?
The which supernova? I didn't catch the word.
The Schwugi supernova of 2007.
I don't think we're familiar with that. You can email me offline, so that would be great.
Oh.
Hi, do we have the next call? are you there?
Hello?
Hi, Ken.
Okay. My next question is, how is this expanding so fast, and does it change the understanding of the dynamics of the supernova explosions?
The speed that we're seeing, this sort of 12 or 14,000 kilometers per second, if it is at the center of the galaxy, is unprecedented for a supernova remnant, but then this is an unprecedented supernova remnant. It's actually quite high for even for supernovae, but not unprecedented. In supernova explosions themselves, you see at least some material going as much as twice as fast as that. But in order for it to have kept a speed like this for as long as 100 years, the density of surrounding material must be very low. And that's consistent with what else we know, because since we don't see the hot gas contribution to X-rays, that also indicates that the density is low. So for both of those reasons, we think it's not slowed down enormously since its birth, because the speed is already very high, and that low density also has reduced the contribution of thermal X-rays.
Yeah, this is Bob Kirshner. I observe supernovae when they explode, so in other galaxies. And you can, in that case, from the optical light, you can measure the shift, the Doppler shift, in the lines that are emitted or absorbed by the expanding stuff. And so there you see directly, at the time of the explosion, that there are velocities of 10 or 15,000 kilometers a second. The speed that has been inferred for the expansion of this very young remnant. It's a little surprising how high the expansion speed for this remnant is, but it's not vastly different from what we see for the outer layers of the exploding stars.
Yeah, we did get nervous enough that we did a little hydrodynamic simulation just to make sure that you could take a standard supernova and have it at this age still be going this fast. And you can if the density is moderately not unprecedentedly low.
It's Dave Green here. I think the other comment just to make, there's a bit of uncertainty about the distance to the object. We know it's about at the distance of the galactic center, but it's not precisely known, so there's a little bit of leeway there to bring it a bit closer and reduce the speed. I mean, Steve can comment on that in a bit more detail.
Yeah, it's Steve again. It probably is not close enough to get the speed as low as any remnant that's known. Given the enormous amount of absorption, I would be unhappy moving it more than about 20% closer than the center of the galaxy. There's more absorption toward this than there is in a nearby line of sight that goes all the way through the galaxy and out the other side.
Great, thanks. If nothing else from Ken Chang from The Times, let's go to Phil Berardelli from Science Now.
Hi. My question is, you've found this spectacular object, and that brings your total up somewhere closer to 10 for the young supernova remnants in the galaxy. Where are you going to look for the other 50?
Well, this is Steve. I'll start out with that, and I'll pass it on in a second. In a way, finding this just highlights the ongoing lack of young remnants, because this thing it's not like it was a newly discovered object. It's only its age that was newly discovered. The object has been known for over 20 years. There are a few other small, bright radio objects about which little else is known that are being followed up. In fact, G1.9 was observed by my team as a part of a project to do exactly that. And our first target a couple years ago, not nearly as dramatic, but did turn out to be a remnant that was about 1,000 years old. G15.9 plus 0.2, I think is its name. So there are a few candidates among already known sources that may help us fill the gap, but it is a serious problem. And either resolution makes us a little unhappy. One resolution is that our galaxy really is different from the other spiral galaxies around, and it really has a lower supernova rate right now, which is a little alarming. Has it always been low? If that's the case, where did the other activity that is owed to supernova remnants come from? The other possibility is that young supernova remnants can look different than we ever imagined, and that's kind of frightening because it means that we are really missing the boat in doing these countings, and that maybe they can behave in ways which we haven't anticipated. Either way is very interesting.
Okay.
Dave Green here. I'll say a little bit about it from the observational side, because many supernova remnants are first discovered in the radio, but I think that will change as we get a new generation of instruments at other wavelengths. And really, it's an gravitational, to use a technical term, selection effect, is you can't see everything that's out there. And to think of it simplistically, half of the galaxy is further away than the galactic center. All of those objects will be very small. They will be very close to the middle of the Milky Way. And although the radio waves travel to us without much obscuration along the line of sight, there's lots of things along the line of sight. So things start to look complicated, and trying to distinguish objects from other objects that overlap them becomes difficult. There are lots of relatively compact radio sources that we know about, which have been observed in the Milky Way with single dish surveys. I think there's a survey from a big telescope in Germany, which is only part of the Galactic Band, if I remember correctly. It's got about 6,000 fairly compact radio sources in it. And we have not looked at all of those 6,000 radio sources. The vast majority of those will be background radio sources from external galaxies, but some of those will be in the galaxy, but we need to zoom in and look at their structure. And we've done that in some cases. Actually, that's how G1.9 was originally selected. But there are other candidates out there, and it's a hard job to do. We could look at all 6,000, or we could try and identify the top 20 candidates and zoom in on those, and the top 20 have been looked at and the top 50, but it's a difficult job to do.
If I understand you correctly, then you're saying the problem might simply be that we're within the plane, and that's what makes the observation so different. If we could magically elevate ourselves above the plane and look at the full spiral of the galaxy, these things might be much easier to detect.
Correct.
Well, comment, the supernovae themselves would all be immediately apparent. The remnants would still be there, and not much different. Really, the problem with the radio sources is that if the remnants are far enough away, they appear so small that their structure has not been obvious in previous observations. And if we use the very large array, which can make very sharp images and see a nice little shell, then it's an excellent candidate. Supernova remnant, but they can't all be small. And this right. 1.9 is already the smallest angular size resolved remnant. So there's no guaranteed fix here. I think that just slogging through and observing with higher resolution this vast number of sources that's the haystack, and maybe we'll find a few more needles.
Okay, so basically, you've found this really interesting object. And I was talking with Sri Kulkarni this morning at Caltech, and he was very excited about this. And he said, with 1987A, and with this, and with CASA, you've got supernova remnants in very young stages that you can compare. So that gives you some new information, but in terms of finding the missing mass, the missing remnants, you're still in the dark about where they are. Would that be a fair encapsulation?
It's a step in the right direction, but there's a lot of steps left.
Okay.
This is Dave Green here again. There are ongoing efforts to do other surveys. I mean, the extreme example is, as Steve said, is to look at all of the candidates. But that's a very, very big observational task. The other technique is to think of a way of selecting some prime candidates out of the very large list and do a more targeted search. And I know I've done various of these surveys with some success, and other people are working on this.
It's
hard.
One last comment. Even X-rays can be absorbed, and the lower energy X-rays get absorbed first. So G1.9 was invisible to an all-sky survey done with the ROSAT X-ray satellite a few years ago because it was only sensitive to the lower energy X-rays. And the same would be true for any highly obscured X-ray remnant. So they might not even show up in the X-ray catalogs. So I think the radio is the way to go.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Just one more point on this, which is, you're quite right. It's great to have this album of baby pictures for these exploding stars. One thing you have to be careful about, though, is that there might be more than one kind. And we know that there are different kinds of supernova explosions. Some are from massive stars, and some are thermonuclear explosions in low-mass stars. So we don't know for sure which type we're talking about here. And so you have to be a little careful if you only have one example not to think all supernovae must be exactly like that one. So having 87A and this one and Cass A is great, and that's true, but they may not turn out to be all of the same type. So there may be a lot more surprises as the catalogs of these young remnants grow.
Okay. Thank you all very much.
Okay, I think we can go to our question now from Robert Johnson.
Hello.
Hi, Robert, are you on the line?
Hello.
Hi. Is there a question?
One moment, please.
I think, actually, if we're coming to our end of our time for questions at this point, I think the best thing to do is, if you have any follow-up questions from reporters on the line, then you can go ahead and email those to me, and I will pass them along to the reporters, otherwise, or to the scientists. Otherwise, I want to thank everyone for today's participation, and hope you enjoy the results.
Hello?
Thank you.
Hey. All right. Hey, I want to talk to you guys.
Okay, time to, thank you.
No, I want to talk.